Okay, well, we'll just have a short time in God's Word before we have our business meeting. I think some of them are still on the way. And let's turn to Book of Psalms 138, okay? Psalm 138. Thank you. Okay, let's stand, all right? Let's just sit this. We'll read this psalm. Let's stand as we sit. Read Psalm 138. Come on, get your tongue. We'll read from verse 1 to verse 8, okay? Psalm 138, verse 1 to verse 8. I'll read verse 1, and you read verse 2, and so on until we finish at verse number 8. It's a wonderful psalm. Psalm 138, verse 1, the Psalm of David. I will praise thee, O, with my whole heart. Before the gods will I praise, sing praise unto thee. Verse 2.
I will worship toward thy holy temple, and
in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Verse 4.
All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of my mouth.
Verse 5. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Verse 6.
The Lord is high, yet hath he respect to the lowly, but the proud he will afar.
Verse number 7 of Psalm 138. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Verse number 8, let's read together. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Let's have a word of prayer. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your precious word that tells us, Lord, that it is a good thing to praise you. And Father, with the full confidence in your power, in your grace and kindness to guide us in our life. So, Lord, even as we study, Lord, just one verse of this Psalm 138, Father, may your grace, your kindness be clearly shown. That, Father, may your Spirit speak to us in a special way. And that, Lord, may we walk with you in the light of your word, in the light of your grace. We thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. We ask your Holy Spirit to take control of this teaching's time. And may your Holy Spirit be the teacher. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, we're in Psalm 138, all right, for those who just came in. How many of you have ever run a marathon? How many of you have run a marathon before? Half marathon, okay. Have you run a marathon before? Half marathon, yeah. Brother Song Ling, how many? Quarter marathon. How many have run a quarter marathon before? Huh? Oh, yes? No? Quarter marathon? Cross country? No? 100 meters? Okay. How many of you have heard of Paula Radcliffe? Paula Radcliffe. Paula Radcliffe is actually a world record holder for the marathon from England. She doesn't win it all the time, but I think she was a record holder. She was running in the 2000 Olympics in Sydney. But you know, as she was running, she gave up at the 30-kilometer mark. Okay, apparently it was too hot. It's getting too hot. He was running. And if you remember that particular year in the Olympics, a Japanese lady actually won the marathon. Okay, and then beat Paula Radcliffe. Okay. Now, that's an introduction. The title of today's, just a devotion, What Grace Begins, Grace Will End. Okay, what grace begins, grace will end. Thank God we have a God who calls us to His will. Okay, thank God that we have a God who calls us to do His purpose in life. Okay, we all have a purpose in life. Okay, and the purpose of using the illustration of the marathon is, life is a marathon. Some people can finish. Some people can't. Like Paula Radcliffe, for example. Yeah, she may be the world record holder of the marathon, but you know, at the Sydney Olympics, she had to give up halfway. But we thank God that we have a God, that when He calls us to something, we don't finish it, He does. He does, okay? I just want to highlight two things that God calls us to very quickly. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, let's turn there. Two things. There are many things that God calls us to. But I just want to share two things that God calls us. And then we want to look at Psalm 138 and understand why David can be so confident in God's completion. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. I think many of us will know the first two verses, 8 and 9. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. But look at verse number 10. After we've been saved, the Bible tells us, for we are His workmanship, we are His art and craft, we are His creativity. When we become Christians, God actually recreates us. by giving us a new nature, okay? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Christians, we've been called to good works. Good works doesn't save us, but good works is the evidence of our Christian life, okay? We have been called to good works. The definition of good works could be baptism, could be things that God tells us to do, or works that will help someone else, because the word good has the idea of beneficial to someone. Okay, so all our lives are to be characterized by good works after we become Christians, okay? So God has called us to good works. And number two, God has called us to be like Jesus. I think we all know that, Romans 8:29. God has called us to be like Jesus, okay? Now, look at Philippians 1 verse 6, a few verses for the introduction, then we'll go into the psalm. Philippians 1 verse 6, let's read this together. This is a very encouraging verse that every Christian must know, okay? I knew this verse in 1984 or 5, I think, and I have never forgotten it. Let's read together Philippians 1 verse 6. Ready? 1, 2, go. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I am full of assurance, I am full of confidence that when God started something in us as Christian, the good work here refers to salvation. So Paul is telling the Philippian Christians, I'm very confident when God started this salvation work in you, that you are a Christian. Paul is so confident that God will continue to do it, perform it, has the idea of do all that is necessary for it until the coming of the Lord Jesus. And we do not know when Jesus will come, but basically what Paul is saying, till the day we see him, till the day we see Christ. Okay? Paul says, look, I am so confident God will continue to do this work in your life. Now, look, let's turn back to Psalm 138 again. And I just want to focus on one verse, Psalm 138, Psalm 138. Drawing from this introduction of knowing that God will complete his work, Psalm 138, notice what David said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. The psalmist David said here, Lord, you will perfect that which concerneth me. He was declaring a statement, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The word perfect means to complete, bring to an end. Paula Radcliffe did not bring to an end the marathon. She gave up halfway. Our God doesn't give up on us. Amen? God doesn't give up on us. The Bible says the Lord will perfect. The word perfect means to bring to an end. Bring to an end that which concerneth me. That is a very personal promise that he has from God. And you know what? When you apply that, you realize one thing. You can put your name in there. God will perfect that which concerns Johnny. God will perfect that which concerns Jeremiah. God will perfect that which concerns Titus. No matter how young you are, and you have trusted Christ, God will finish whatever direction in life that he is going to bring you. Okay? Now, why is David so confident about God's work in his life? Let me give you four reasons, okay, very quickly. Number one, David was confident that God can complete the work because, number one, he is able. He is able. You know why I say he is able? Because the Bible says the Lord. The Lord. The word Lord there is L-O-R-D, capital. Every time you see a capital in the King James, it means the translators put it as capital because it has the name Yahweh, the I Am, the great I Am, the self-existent one, the one who doesn't need anyone. The one who doesn't need any help to exist. In other words, he is just there. He is always there. His strength, he is the strength to keep on going on. All right? He is the Yahweh. Okay? He is the Yahweh. He is the Lord. He is the self-existent one. In Jeremiah 32, verse 27, I'll just read. Just listen to the word of God. Behold, I am the Yahweh. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And listen to this question, is there anything too hard for me? What's the question? Is there anything too hard for God? No. In Jeremiah 32, verse 27, that's what God says. I'm the Lord, the Yahweh. Is there anything too hard for me? When God says, I will perfect that which concerneth you, God says, that's a promise, okay? God is able. So David has confidence about God's word because he knows he's able, number one. Number two, God completes what he finishes in our lives because he is willing. Because the Bible says the Lord will perfect. The Lord will perfect. That is an assurance on David's part. But let's turn to Exodus chapter 6. I told you I've been reading the Pentateuch, the Torah, just combing through many chapters a day. And I'm just doing little squiggles along the way. But in Exodus chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 8, I will just read this passage. And I want to just draw out for us some of my observations about what God, the creator of heaven and earth, said in this passage. Okay, let me just read. You can follow along if you like. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go. Verse 2. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Yahweh. I am the Lord. And I appear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Moses had the privilege of knowing the personal name of God. Okay? He was the first one to know it. But look at verse 4. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of the pilgrimage when they were strangers. Verse 5. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Verse 6. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Once again, you see the reiteration of I am. You know why? Because God wants to tell Moses, look, I am well able to do what I say I'm going to do. I am able to do what I'm going to do. Look at verse number 6. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. If you read through the Bible, did God fulfill all his promises? Yes, he did. When he said, I will, it means I've already decided. So when David says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me, he's just telling us, hey, look, I know God's going to do it because he's willing. You know, it is one thing that you have the ability, and then when someone says, hey, can you do this for me? You're very good. Then you say, okay, Lord, I do, Lord. I don't feel like it, but never mind, I'll do it for you. Like today, when I was on the mechanic, I could see that this mechanic, the Malay guy, started out very, very good in the... He's not a mechanic, sorry. He was the counter staff. So he was very friendly. He was very nice. And but, you know, as the day went on, you could see that he's very stressed because he has so many... All the taxi drivers come, all the... He tried to coordinate. And I think one of the things that he was always... every time he see me, I think he's very stressed. He said, pass, ah. No la, fail. Okay, for me, I spent a whole day at the vehicle workshop because I had to go through Vicom 4 times. He failed the brake test. Thank God, finally he passed. So every time I come in, I drive in, I look at, hey, Matt, fail la. You know, I talk in a Malay tone. Hey, Matt, fail la. You know, and every time he see me, by the third time, he don't want to ask really. The first thing is, pass la. No la, fail. I'll fail. You know, he have this expression. And then at the end, one of the mechanics say, he will plan to go down with me to the Vicom. You know, the mechanics have very special powers when they go on to inspection. All of a sudden, you get passed on. But you know, it seems that when I ask, hey, after they've done the brakes and all that kind of thing, they say, hey, I think let's not waste time. Like, one of you all come with me, let's go and settle this. Then he tried to call. He said, I cannot go, because he was the only one there. So, hey, then you ask your mechanic. Then call, cannot, no one cannot go. Okay. You can sense the unwillingness. I say, okay, and then I just go. Then God answered their prayer and passed. But I know you may have the ability, but if you're unwilling, it's very hard to do something. God has the ability, and he's more than willing. And I want to encourage us to say that God is not only having the ability to complete that in our life, he is so willing. Just like a father or a mother who loves the children so much, that you know what, no matter how hard, the mother and father will do all he can. That's our God, okay? He is able, he is willing. Let's look at Romans 8:32. When the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, he was willing. But notice what Paul teaches the Roman Christians in Romans 8:32. Okay, let's read it together. Romans 8:32. Okay, ready? Those who are there, we'll just read it, okay? Ready? 1, 2, begin. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him us for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know, God spared not his own son. It means when we deserve to die, Jesus says, I'm willing to die in your place. You know what God the Father says? All right, you go ahead. He didn't even spare his own son. And Paul says, look, if God the Father is willing to give his own son, is there anything that he will not give to us that is good for us? So this is an encouragement, isn't it? I hope it is to you, because it is to me, so it should be to you too. All right? God is willing to complete that which concerning us, okay? Number three reason, turn back to Psalms 138 again. Why is David confident about God's work in his life? Because number one, he's able. Number two, he's willing. Number three, he is dependable. You can depend on God. Amen? Look at Psalm 138. I think you are there except me. Psalm 138. Okay. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. He's dependable. Number one, he keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. The Bible says, thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. David is very confident that the mercy of God will endure forever. Psalm 23, verse 6. Let me give you one of this promise. Who knows Psalm 23, verse 6? Psalm 23, verse 6. Ezra, Psalm 23, verse 6. Just say Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, what? All the days of my life. You know, it didn't hit me until a few months, probably last year when I preached it. You know what David says? Surely, definitely, God's goodness, his kindness, and his mercy will follow me all the days of my life. God keeps his promises, okay? The second point under this is, his grace is permanent. His grace is permanent. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. The word endureth forever has the idea of permanence. With Psalm 23, verse 6 in mind, God's goodness and mercy will follow us for all the days of our life. You know what that means? Every day. God's grace is standard issue. Standard giving. God gives grace every single day of our lives to the day we die. And then he gives us eternal grace when we'll be in heaven forever. Do you realize, Christians, every day you live is a day of grace? It's a day of God. Not just the fact that we are alive, but we have the strength to do work. You know, some brethren are sick. They can't do much. When you're sick, you can't really do much. When you have knee hurting, you can't really do much. When you have a sickness or flu, you cannot really do much. But the fact that we can do is, every day is a day of grace. God says, my grace is permanent. Not only God is dependable in that he keeps his promises, but God's grace is also permanent. In Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, let me just read that. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It is because of God's... The word mercies in the Old Testament is equivalent to grace in the New. So it is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. If God's love doesn't fail us, his mercies will definitely not fail. That's what Jeremiah is saying. In verse 23, guess what? God's mercies are what? New every morning. In other words, after you have spent a whole day using God's grace, you know what? When you come to the next day, God gives brand new grace. It's kind of like having a... how many of you, some of you children may receive pocket money every day, right? Right? Every day is a check, not check, probably $2 or $5, you know? Every day is, no matter whether you spend or not, you still get it. You know what? God's mercies is like that. Every day, God gives us a new set of mercies, new set of grace. Because the Bible says, Jeremiah verse 3 and verse 20, Lamentations chapter 3 verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. No, just reflect on it. You know why God will finish that which concerns us? Because God gives us his grace every day. Because you know why? He knows we need it. We definitely need God's grace, all right, to finish what God wants us to do, okay? Then point number four, very quickly, you will find that in Psalm 138, the last part, David actually prays, forsake not the works of thine own hand. That is a prayer. That is a prayer. The word forsake means slacken not. God don't slacken in the works of thy own hand. God will not slacken. But that is to build David's faith. You know what? Every day we need to pray. Remember, I think last week I mentioned that everything before we do, pray. And you know what? Even in God's word, we need to pray. Say, God, I know that, you know, and this whole day I was praying, God, please help me to pass. Not me, help the van to pass. And you know what? How many of you have ever been through a situation that you have totally no control over? But God was really trying my faith today. I don't know why the brake cannot pass. Neither did the mechanic. Neither did the inspector. They're all guessing. But every time we go through the vehicle inspection, you know what? Fail. And now they have high tech on. Everything is displayed there. And so when they press the brake, immediately they can see a percentage. Then suddenly, red, red, green, red. But 3 out of 4 red. So sorry, fail. And then first time, okay, fail. Okay, I'll go back. Then, okay, then they tidy up and come back again. Fail. But the third time, then I actually asked him, why do you think it's failed? And he actually raised his voice. Fail means fail. You must go back and tell your mechanic. Okay, I went back. The mechanic was scratching his head. How come fail also? And he said, okay, what? Everything looks okay. So I went back again the third time. They were kind of, God's grace was upon me. You know why? Because after I do the first inspection, repeat inspection, you must pay 30%. Okay? But God had grace because after the second time, the inspector saw that I paid. Okay, never mind. I give you free. The next time you come, you go and check, you come. Okay, so I went back. Fail again. And God's grace was still on me. I give you another time free. All right, you go and check. And don't worry. Anytime also, you can come back. You don't have to come back today. All right, because it's already about 2 o'clock. I've been there 3 times. Yeah. So then I went, and then the guy said, in the end, the mechanic was... because it was after his lunch. And I said, Uncle, failed. Oh, then he checked. And he began to call some people. You know, sometimes they have connections with this. But in the end, they decided just change the 2 brake units. And you know, even as they changed, I told God, I'm not very confident in this mechanic, so don't know what's happening. So after that, I decided to, God, I just trust you. And of course, it made matters worse that they couldn't actually go with me. But it turned out that it was a brake pump that was spoiled. Because apparently, when you press, the brake pressure before the changing of the brake pump was about 50 to 60. You need a brake pressure of about 150. Okay, so when they brake, the hydraulics will push, then the measurement will come out. All right, and after they change the brand new set, and then they press at the, you can see, pass, 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 pass. Okay, and then I wanted to see the brake pressure. And sure enough, it was close to 100. It was 147, so he said it was acceptable. So I went back and looked at them. It was a brake pump. Oh. So they were so blurry. They don't know what to do. They wanted to give up. Okay? But you know what? Even in there, I had to pray because I had no control. The mechanic didn't know what was happening. The guy didn't know what was happening. He was just guessing. The guy was saying, maybe it's an axle problem. The mechanic, no lah. So I don't know what was happening. But God knew. God had a plan. God actually had a plan to work in my heart as I had to go through that because it was all part of God's grace that I survived that day. And after on the way back, guess what? Psh, got hit by someone behind also. Okay, thank God the van wasn't as bad. I thought the engine blew because I've never in an accident before, so I thought the engine blew. But I was safe. So God is good. Amen. What about you? But God has been good. Yesterday when Jared got his results, I could see that God is good. Okay, God is good. God is good when even people we know didn't make it, some of them. But God is good. God gives grace. You know what? We need to pray. We need to absolutely pray. In application to self, just very quickly as we've closed, God has a plan for us. God will complete His plan for us. But you know what? We need to be in submission to His will for His will to be completed. Okay? You know, the last part is God wants a consecrated heart so that God can finish His will in our lives. I'll just close with this story. There was a runner who was... I was trying to find, I don't really know what's the context, and all I know that he was a marathon runner. I think he was from one of African countries. He was running one time in a marathon, I think it was in the Olympics, or I can't remember. But you know, as he was starting, he actually sprained his ankle or something, he hurt his leg. I don't quote me on this, but the story goes that he was actually, his leg was in very, he was very painful, but you know what, he got up and he kept on going, and the officials at the stadium at the end, okay, after a few hours, they were looking out for him, but they didn't see him. So they thought he did drop out already. But you know, the officials were surprised that he was still limping into the stadium. That was a few hours after. You know, marathon runners can finish the marathon in about 2 hours, 6 minutes. That is the record, I think. And so, but you know, he limped to the finishing line. After he limped to the finishing line, the officials, he was asked this question, what made you continue the race to the end? You know, I mean, painful, just kind of go out. And this is what he said. My country sent me, and I must finish the race. My country sent me, and I must finish the race. You know what? To every Christian, we must say, God sent me, and I must finish the race. Let's turn to 2 Peter as we close this devotion. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. You know, at the 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, turn, 10 and 11, let me just read that. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. We need to put all our effort to make our calling and election sure, meaning that when God called us to be a Christian, let's be the best that we can with whatever we have. Look at verse 11. That is the exciting one. For so an entrance shall be served to you, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what Peter is saying? As you strive to run the Christian race, as you run, you may be hurt, there may be things happening to you, you are under all kinds of trials. But you know what? You make your diligence to say, I'm a Christian and I will finish my race as a Christian and I will do all I can to bring all the people I can, and no matter how hurt I am, I will run the race. I will give diligence to make my calling and election sure. And so at the end, so shall an entrance be served. You know what that means? You know what's an entrance? Let me give you a good illustration of this. The man that was limping towards the finishing line, as he was limping on his way to the stadium, he was realizing that probably it's getting late in the night, about 6 plus, all right, at this particular Olympic Games. Oh, I can't remember the games or not. But he was running, and in his mind, he was probably thinking, I think the people would have gone home. Only the officials will be there. But you know what? Much to his surprise, as he was limping into the stadium, the entire crowd was still there. And as he was limping towards the finishing line, the whole crowd stood up and gave him a standing ovation for his perseverance. And you know what? Of course, when people give you that kind of encouragement, you just keep going and going and going. Can I say this as a Christian? When you go to heaven with all the bruises and all the tears and all the blood and all the hard things that have happened to you because you were running the race, oh, heaven will give you a standing ovation. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I believe with all my heart, when you do all your heart, God will give you a standing ovation. Just like he gave Stephen, God will give us. This is what Peter meant, okay? Christians, God will complete that which concerneth us. We can trust him, okay? But we need to have a heart that is right, that will follow him fully. Okay, any questions? Okay. Hopefully that's an encouragement. Let's have a word of prayer. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will just encourage our hearts with these words. That God, you promise in your word that you will perfect that which concerneth us. I know many people may just be listening, but I'm asking you, Lord, to do a mighty work in our lives. That God, we will trust you. Father, we will put our life in your hands. God, we thank you for what you're going to do. Not just perfect that which concerneth us, but perfect that which concerneth our church. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well.